On the field, inside the clubhouse, and everything in between. This is Brewers Weekly. Here's Dominic Catronio.
All right, a happy edition of Brewers Weekly, jam-packed. Brewers get a series win over the Giants. They're back to a season-high 21 games above 500. They're in control of the Central Division. And they might have too many arms, and they know what to do with all of a sudden, as the crew finds themselves still in first place, chasing down the Phillies for the second seed in the National League. As we begin the show, this game will go final by the time we are done here on the air. We look live to Philadelphia. The Braves and the Phillies starting a huge four-game series head-to-head. Keep in mind, the Braves, this is the final time they will meet head-to-head this year. The Braves are leading that season series 6-3. So the only way the Phillies can win the series, the season series, is by sweeping them. If the Braves are going to make any noise and try to chase them down, it has to come this weekend in a four-game set. As we preface all of that, the Brewers started the day a game and a half back. So if the Phillies lose, they will be only a half game back of the Phils for that two seed. It is 5-4 Phillies in the top of the eighth inning right now, but a man on first and two outs for Michael Harris. We'll have updates live throughout the program. What you're going to hear today, we're going to have highlights coming up next, recapping today's fun victory for the crew. Plenty of audio to talk about today. We heard from Aaron Ashby, Aaron Civale, and Garrett Mitchell, and of course, manager Pat Murphy. And as I'm looking down at my screen, oh, almost a two-run homer from Michael Harris. Oh, live reactions here. Instead, it's a fly out to the track in dead center field in Philly. So they're headed to the bottom of the eighth. 5-4 Phillies. This is what it's all about, man. It's almost September this weekend. It's Labor Day weekend. Every game matters now down the stretch. I'm fired up for it. So they're headed to the bottom of the eighth inning. Phillies up 5-4. We'll also talk about, I've got a little list here, a to-do list. What the Brewers have to figure out over these final 29 games, the rest of the season, the final month, exactly 1 month from today, the season will be over. Will they be a two seed? Will they be a three seed? Or better? Or worse? We don't know. But the Brewers are in great shape right now, which to some people, they're not really comfortable with. And we'll talk about maybe some of the negative Nancys and the Debbie Downers out there in the world who don't know this feeling of success this well for this long stretch of a time. The Brewers are in great shape right now. Would love for you to join us as well. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. What's on your to-do list for the Brewers over this final month of the season? We'll talk about that a little bit later on here in the program. But up next, let's relive today's shutout victory, 6-0 over the Giants here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers get the victory today. Aaron Civale going up against young rookie Hayden Birdsong for the Giants. We're going to relive it coming up next year. I'm Dominic Catronio. This was a rubber game of the series, too. Mattered for both teams, obviously. The Giants, this was like their last gasp. If they're going to act like they're relevant, if they were going to pull off a sweep this week, maybe they would act like they're relevant. But they're officially done. They're out of it. We'll talk about playoff picture a little bit later on here on the program. But this is all about the highlights today. As Civale, he left two stranded in the first, and that will be the most stress he had all day long. Moving on to the second inning, with one out, Garrett Mitchell came to the plate, as he's been slumping as of late. He's in there because Sal Frelick hurt his leg yesterday, and he gets the job done.
Yeah, that's a career for a lot of guys. And then line to right. Get up! Get out of here! Gone! Garrett Mitchell just put the Brewers on the board with a line drive to the bullpen in right center. He knew he got it. It cleared the barrier out there, and the Brewers have the lead.
Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker on the call here on WTMJ. The crew out to a 1-0 lead. They weren't even done in the inning. A great at-bat by Gary. Sanchez worked a 9-pitch walk to keep the inning alive. Then Joey Ortiz doubled with two strikes on the opposite to the opposite way, and a sacrifice fly from Blake Perkins would make it 2-0 Brewers. Meanwhile, Civale was rolling. He struck out 6 of the first 12 batters he faced in the game. In the third inning, a 1-out walk to Contreras. Hoskins would strike out. Adames, a bloop single, and great base running by William to go first to third on that play on it with two outs. And then chaos broke out on the bases.
1-2. Runner goes. It's up and out. Bailey's throw to second. They got Adamas caught in a rundown. Fitzgerald is going to throw to third. Here comes Contreras. He'll score. Fitzgerald threw behind Contreras and Matt Chapman, the Platinum Glove Award winner, could not make a clean exchange, bobbled the baseball, and Contreras was safe.
The one cardinal rule of baseball and of defending, never throw behind the runner, meaning William Contreras was dancing off of third base. That throw needed to go home. Instead, the throw went to third behind William. He broke for the plate. Simple Little League, you break the opposite direction of the throw, and if they make the mistake, they throw to third. You break for home, and Chapman had to go a little to his left, try to spin and throw, but bobbled it in the transfer. So technically, the catcher stole home. William Contreras stole home to make it 3-0. The next inning, they kept the offense rolling against Birdsong, but it started inauspiciously enough. Two outs, nobody on. Nine-hole hitter. This is being relentless for the Brewers. A four-pitch walk to Blake Perkins. You cannot get away with a four-pitch walk to the nine-hitter. Terang, next up, he draws a walk. All of a sudden, there are two men aboard. Birdsong is done. Jelly comes in to face the rookie Churio.
Good speed on the bases. Perkins, Terang. Line down the right field line. That may score two. Perkins is in. Terang flying around third. He scores. Jackson Churio, a two-run double. The Brewers lead by a nickel.
Jeff Levering's call here on WTMJ. The very next batter, just two pitches later, William Contreras driving in Jackson.
At the belt, looks at second, and throws home. Ground ball left side. That's through a base hit. Churio will score. It's a three-run fourth inning. Milwaukee's up 6-0.
They still had opportunities later in the game to add on. They didn't manage to do so. But nonetheless, a 6-0 lead was plenty for Savali. He went seven shutout innings. He did not allow a hit outside of the infield other than the one in the first inning. He had an infield hit allowed in the third of his two hits allowed. He did walk a pair of batters. He struck out seven. He went seven shutout innings. Back-to-back starts from Brewers starters to have quality starts. No runs allowed. Incredible stuff to win the series. Oh, then Aaron Ashby, he came in pumping 98. 98.5, to be exact, is when he topped out on his velo. That was a welcome sight to see. He had the final two frames as the Brewers connected on their 11th shutout of the season. That is tied for the fifth most in all of Major League Baseball. We'll hear from Pat Murphy here in just a moment. Then you'll hear from the guys at hand, Savali and Murphy and Ashby as well. Recapping this one, a series victory, 855-616-1620. We're talking about to-do lists later on in the program for the final month of the season. What is on your to-do list for the Brewers in these final 29 games? 21 games above 500. We're keeping an eye on Braves and Phillies. Score update coming up after this on WTMJ.
More Brewers Weekly coming up on WTMJ. It's Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers win. They're in first place. Real quick, score update from Philadelphia. It is 5-4 Philly still. But now into the top of the ninth inning, the Braves are batting. And it is Jeff Hoffman going for the save from the Phillies. Jose Alvarado is away from the team right now. He's with a personal matter right now. So that inning could end by the time this segment is over and the Brewers could remain still a game and a half back of the second seed. With that being said, Pat Murphy was really pleased with his starter, Aaron Civale, today. That's now three quality starts in his last four, and he's got a scoreless streak going at home. Here's what Murph had to say about Civale's afternoon.
You know, you have to execute pitches, and you can overcook them. You can try to make them too nasty or nastier and yank it. He just stayed. He had a great rhythm. He had a great poise, and he stayed with it. And him and Gary worked together, and it was good. I mean, it was really, really good. When you see the other team taking heaters, you know what I mean, in the middle of the count, you know, like, yeah, he's got them thinking. He's got them, you know, sped up. So they didn't have an answer for him today.
The big number that jumps out to me, and I tweeted this earlier today, at @Dom_Catronio, the cutter seems to be a really big pitch for Aaron Civale as of late, and specifically how successful it was today. And in case you missed it, this is coming into today. Savali's cutter with the Rays versus Savali's cutter now with the Brewers. And this does not include today because he held opponents to 0-for-9 against his cutter today. Coming into today, or I should say with the Rays, opponents hit 301 against his cut fastball. Coming into today, they were hitting 196 against his cutter with the Brewers. And in fact, I can do this math live thanks to our friends at Baseball Savant to give you a proper batting average, at least after today's game. Pulling it up now, in case you haven't clicked around Baseball Savant, you should. It's an incredible website, to say the least. We're looking at this by month, by 2024. Stand by. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Thrilling radio, I know. Okay, so now, that is 6-for-31 plus 5-for-25. Quick math in your head, that's 11-for-56. Add in an 0-for-9, that's 11-for-65. 11 divided by 65, and that's a 169 batting average. Boom, live math on the radio. 169 against the cutter. I mean, that's virtually in half than what it was with the Rays. Man, that's Chris Hook's music right there. That's incredible. Here's what Aaron Savali had to say specifically about that pitch and his mix overall today.
I don't think it's any one thing in particular. Just worked on getting the delivery in a good spot, and it's allowing me to go out there and compete. And that's the emphasis with each pitch, is just throw a competitive pitch, and whatever happens, know that the work behind it is valid, and just having confidence in that.
How important was your cutter today, as in particular, given how great it was?
I think the cutter is pretty important every time out there. It's one of the reasons that I'm doing what I do. I think it's just executing the pitches where we were trying to throw them, and if they were missing with balls, they were usable. Just a good day with some execution and mix and match the type of pitches we were using and locations, and just rolled through the game.
Yeah, I again, 0-for-9 for an opponent against the cutter. This is something we talked about with Savali when he was acquired, saying he's going to rely on his defense. He's a pitch-to-contact guy. He has some pitches that are capable of swing and miss. But if you're getting a team 9 times to put a ball in play and not be able to get hit out of it, it's moving well, you're locating it well, and it's keeping everything else off balance. I mean, he threw literally everything but the kitchen sink at them today, using the phrase that was a bit of contention, or I wouldn't say contention, but just like, debate, where did this phrase actually come from? We were talking about this with Murph earlier today. Like, is it everything but the kitchen sink, or threw everything in the kitchen sink? Like, is this, how old is this phrase? Nonetheless, he threw everything but the kitchen sink at him. He threw 7 different pitches today. And in case you're wondering, 4-seam fastball, sinker, cutter, curve, sweeper, splitter, slider. All 7 pitches. A little bit of everything. The cutter was still the pitch he used the most, but he didn't use, of his 92 pitches, nothing was thrown more than 22 times. And he was still getting swings and misses, majority of them on the cutter and the curveball. 5 on the cutter and 3 on the curveball. For somebody that relies on defense, and him getting strikeouts is certainly a welcome sight. I'm never going to complain about strikeouts. But to see the weak contact and the unbalanced swings and the uncomfortable, he was not afraid to pitch inside to righties with the sinker. He was jamming and breaking bats with the cutter in the lefties. And lefties were his bugaboo, really, with the Rays. He's really calmed that down as of late, being able to handle left-handed hitters against his repertoire. So he's found something new there to get him going in the right direction. Aaron Savali, sneaky, sneaky, really good stretch of baseball right now. Other guy on the mound today that we certainly need to talk about is Aaron Ashby. And that's his second outing. Both of them have been multi-inning work. Sunday in Oakland, and then today here back at home. Him returning home. 3 months ago, we were talking about, man, is he even going to be like in AAA next year? Like, yeah, I know he signed the extension and everything, but there was serious worry about his ERA, his walk rate, the length that he was going, which was virtually nothing, and the road to recovery that it's been for Aaron Ashby.
Yeah, 3 months ago. I mean, it feels like a long time ago. In the grand scheme of things, it's really not. I do feel different, but there's not, you know, it's mainly the physical stuff. Kind of after All-Star break, I don't know, those 3 days, came back, we were in Norfolk, and I didn't have a great start there, but I could tell, like, I was able to, like, pull down on the baseball for the first time. And So after that, it was kind of just take that and run with that feeling of like pulling down and through the fastball. And then obviously results were sporadic, good innings, bad innings. And then kind of after moving to the bullpen here, just had some successful shorter outings that have been good to build on.
In a great piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel posted after the game today, Todd Rosiak, Kurt Hoge, J.R. Ratcliffe, they've all put a little piece into this with Kurt Hoge's development as a reliever. He talked about the fact in this piece, and again, I would encourage you to read it, about how there was a start in Norfolk in Virginia that he did not quite, you know, there was a rain out, he had to go do his stretching, he had to go throw, and there's a test that he does to test the mobility of his shoulder, and all of a sudden it released properly. He felt it like, oh, wait a minute, I haven't felt this in a long time. And he's referring to that pull down of being able to actually rip the baseball and actually throw it with full velocity. And that's sort of that lingo there. And that's why we're seeing 97, 98 miles an hour of him finally being back in the show.
Two in the middle of it, probably. It's been a grind getting back to where I'm at now, and honestly just really thankful. There was some highs and lows over the last, you know, year and a half plus, but yeah, it feels good to go out there and help the team win.
I'm fired up for this dude. Because all of a sudden, 3 months ago, in 3 weeks, we've gone from to, leverage lefty? Like, helping out Jared Koenig, who's just suddenly needs an oil change or something? I don't know what the deal is with Koenig right now. I have full confidence in the bullpen, too. But all of a sudden, you have another lefty that throws 98. And in the words of Garrett Mitchell, uncomfortable sort of in at-bat. He's seen him return for a long time.
I love it. I'm so happy for him, and I totally get it and understand where he's been and what he's had to deal with. And it's been really cool to see, too, that he's touching, you know, 98 again. I just remember, like, when I first, like, faced him when I got into the organization, he was throwing like that. I was like, man, this is a very uncomfortable at-bat. Like, it's especially against lefties. It's just not easy. But it's, like I said, he looks confident. He looks comfortable. And I couldn't be, you know, happier for him.
I mean, with that being said, I feel like that's a perfect transition for us to start talking about Garrett Mitchell and the day that he had and quietly trying to break out of this little mini funk that he's been in over the last 2 weeks or so. Because he was hitting really good, then he got put in the three spot and everything changed after that day. So we'll shift gears talking about the offense and how great they were today. Aaron Ashby and Aaron Civale, the Aarons, combined for a shutout. Number 11 on the year for the Brew Crew. Vibes are high. 855-616-1620. You can call in, you can text in, hang out with us tonight. I do see a couple of these texts that have rolled in here. We will talk about the to-do list a little bit later on in the program. Again, what's on your to-do list for the Brewers over these final month of the season? Back with more after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Brewers get the dub. 6-0 over the Giants. They win the series. I'm Dominic Catronio. Doubleheader tomorrow. One postgame show. No doubleheader postgame. But 11:40 a.m. for the first pitch of game one. It's going to be a long day of baseball for all of us here on the media side of things from Cincinnati. I'll be back here in Milwaukee, but bringing it all to you here as well. By the way, score update. We have a final. The Phillies win. Phillies beat the Braves 5-4. So they remain a game and a half back of that two seed, still with that series lurking in less than 3 weeks' time. Tomorrow, though, 11:40 first pitch for game one. Game two, I was fairly certain it was a split doubleheader. I think 6 o'clock local, 5 o'clock central. We'll find out more tomorrow. The website's all weird on doubleheaders, but doubleheader, split doubleheader, only one postgame show after the night game tomorrow. The Brewers, 4 games in 3 days. It'll be Colin Rain game one. TBD in game two, I'd imagine that's going to be DL Hall, just a hunch. And then Saturday will be Frankie Montas, and then Sunday will be Tobias Myers. Monday, back at home against the Cardinals, imagine that would be Freddie Peralta. Tuesday would likely be Aaron Civale. And then Wednesday, TBD. Could that be Ray? Could that be DL? Do you push one of those guys with an extra day of rest because there's the off day coming up a week from today on Thursday. So that's what's ahead here for the crew to figure out what they want to do. Talk a little offense, and I really love this quote from Pat Murphy today on just the overall day and how a rally formed out of nowhere. And nonetheless, it's the mottos that they talk about over and over and over again, being relentless, being undaunted, And it really exhibited about how this team just, I mean, when you sit down and talk about it, now that there's getting some national pub out there on the crew, right, and you think they're going to slow down, no, they have a top five record in baseball since the second half began. They have suddenly one of the best pitching staffs in baseball here in the month of August. They suddenly have a Rookie of the Year candidate in Jackson Chourio. They have an MVP candidate in William Contreras. Christian Yelich goes down, no big deal. Here's what Pat Murphy had to say.
That's huge. I mean, that's where... you know, not looking too far ahead and just taking care of the moment, you know what I mean, is really hopefully drilled into these guys' heads, you know what I mean? That's what it's about. This team is, as soon as you think they're, I don't know about this club, they don't have this guy, who's this guy, they don't have enough of this, they don't have enough of that, they got enough of something because they keep posting and keep competing. And, it's unprecedented, I think, with the way they're going about their business. Like, this doesn't always add up, but I love what they're doing. I love how they're competing, and they're keeping it in the moment. They're keeping it pitch to pitch. We didn't add on a couple times today that I thought we had some opportunities, but all the damage we did was with two outs, right? Again, you know, like two outs, nobody on, and just a simple little walk, right? Two outs, nobody out, a walk, and then the walk, and then Chourio, and then Contreras, and then, you know, this is how it happens. So it's a good sign. You know, guys are staying relentless.
Be relentless. You've heard that before. Undaunted. Heard that before. It's amazing. And the guy, you know, that kind of started things off was Garrett Mitchell. And Garrett's numbers coming into today were simply not pretty. He did, in fact, had a couple of days off trying to work on some things. I actually ran into the cage in Oakland over the weekend, just kind of caught up with him and Connor Dawson of how things are rolling for him right now. Since the start of the last Cincinnati series on August 9th, so over his last 20 games coming into today, he had been hitting over only 159, 21 strikeouts in his last 44 at-bats coming into today. He responds with a home run, and today, you know, we asked him, we got to talk to him post-game, and first of all, just about overall trying to get the season going back in his direction. It's not quite been the season we had hoped for, obviously, for Garrett, not just injury aside, but he's shown moments of brilliance like we saw today and how he tries to get more experience and get back to old Garrett Mitchell self.
I mean, like I've been telling you guys, it's been more, I think it's just one day at a time, trying to win the day and focus on the things that you can control. There's so many things that are out of our hands, but the one thing you can't control is the energy, your focus, like the work you're putting in. And I'm kind of just staying there. That's just where I've been at. And I know for all of us, again, it's like I said, and as Murph always tells us, it's win today, you know? So when it comes to like how we go about our business, I think it's always attacking it that way and seeing where we're at after. But if there's one thing that I do know for sure is that we're going to work our butts off from first pitch to last.
I mean, win today, win tonight. It's everywhere in the clubhouse. I know not everybody gets to go down to the clubhouse. And there's always some sort of theme with every season. And last year's theme was connected, you know, like being connected to your team, to your partner. Now this year's theme is win tonight. You know, tonight's all that matters. And that has been Murph's slogan all season long, as Garrett repeats that slogan here earlier today. When we talk about actual mechanics of Garrett Mitchell and what he's been going through right now and what was he working on in the cage to hit an elevated fastball, which has been an Achilles heel for him, a guy with good ride, meaning the ball carries very well to the plate. It has good velo, 94, 95 miles an hour for a home run. That's literally what the scouting report says to throw Garrett Mitchell. How did he fix that today?
When I kind of was just looking at video and seeing what was going on, I was happy with the swings that I was taking. When taking a little bit of a deeper dive, I think part of it was timing, but the other part was just a tick under. So really it's just been like these last couple days has really been just trying to work on top of the baseball. And was ready for it early today.
So when you hear that, on top of the baseball, what does that mean? When you're facing a guy with an elevated heater that likes to use it and you have trouble maybe swinging under the baseball, you can use the eye test on Garrett Mitchell and say, man, he swings under the baseball a lot. He's got kind of an uppercut swing. So when you say get on top of the baseball, it's flattening out your swing. It's trying to make sure that you're not trying to elevate, celebrate. You know, this becomes the whole debate, and I've briefly touched on this with Yelly in the past, where it's like, he's caught in heat about talking about should you hit up on the ball or should he hit down on the ball? What is the proper way to hit? Should you hit down on the ball to put backspin on it? Should he hit up on the ball to generate natural launch? This is the current talking hitting controversy that we're in right now with baseball. But when you say get on top of the ball, it's meaning maybe you're facing a guy that you know has good carry on a fastball and good life on it. You see fastball and you're imagining hitting the top of the baseball. The reason why you imagine that is because the ball is not actually going to drop all that much. And you're going to end up, by imagining hitting your top of the baseball, you're going to put the bat in the proper spot and hit a line drive. And not only did he hit a line drive, he hit a line drive homer, which suggests that it's working out well for him. And his play discipline is still extremely good. He got hosed on a couple of strike calls earlier in this game. It was a wide zone all night. It is what it is. But I really like Garrett Mitchell still. The Brewers are figuring out. I talked about it on last night's postgame show, too, with Sal and with Garrett and with Perkins and with Churio. Like, man, you've got some serious tools here that you can use. All do something a little bit different, right? Perkins is still probably glove first, but the fact that he can be a switch hitter and be in there every day as he's going to get the chance to here down the stretch, that is going to be one of our to-do list items here. That's certainly huge. Jackson Churio, you're all-around phenom. Now, the defense leaves a little bit to be desired, but the offense speaks for itself to this point in the year. Frelick, contact, pest, good ball strike, can steal a bag, is just a gamer. And then Mitchell, who has that mix of speed and power like we saw today, stole a base and hit a home run. He has that potential in him for two very valuable tools for the crew. And oh, by the way, I mean, they've still got Jake Bowers who can play the outfield. They've got a guy on their 40-man, Brewer Hicklin, that I'll get to here in just a moment. But the Brewers offense can use a multitude of ways to win the game. Like today, they had their catcher steal home, their right fielder hit a homer, they had a sac fly from their center fielder, they had just clean base hits as well from Churio and from Contreras, and you blink, and it's 6-0 Brewers. Oh, by the way, good luck beating our pitching. So it's like, it's a really fun stretch right now for the crew to be in to talk about all of this stuff. For Garrett, good to see him get the home run. Good to see the Brewers offense click into a series win. And now they will get ready for the Reds over the weekend. With that being said, 29 games to go, 1 month left. Let's get to that to-do list coming up next. Brewers get the win. Now let's start shifting gears to look bigger picture after this on WTMJ.
It's Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. We're going to the top of the hour here, another 15 minutes or so. Let's get to the to-do list. I've got 6 total items on my list. I'll do 3 in this segment, 3 in the next segment. Let me get to a few of these that have texted in already. This one from the 262. Convince us to be positive with what? Like 1 postseason victory since 2018? I want to believe, but I'm not sure I'm ready to be hurt again. You're right. Only 1 postseason victory. No series wins. 1 postseason victory. It was game 1 of the 2021 NLDS. Corbin Burns started that game. Rowdy Tellez hit a home run to tell you how long ago it was in that contest. Charlie Morton started it for the Braves. But quite frankly, the Brewers are most likely, given the Phillies won again tonight, most likely going to face the Braves. And maybe it's the Mets, who knows. But here's why I'm going to give you some optimism. Even if they're in that wild card round, all of a sudden the Brewers have depth. All of a sudden they have depth in the pitching staff where this is going to also answer another question about Jacob Mizorowski and Craig Yoho. Like, are those guys going to come up? Well, you don't really need them to come up right now. All of a sudden, you've got a lot of arms you rely on. Now, if an injury pops up, then you'll certainly reconsider. But you suddenly have got 4 guys that you can confidently hand the baseball to in a postseason game. Those 4 guys are Colin Ray, Freddy Peralta, Tobias Myers, and Frankie Montas. Aaron Civale is knocking on that door right now. D.L. Hall is knocking on that door right now for me. It might not be on the Brewer side, but he's knocking on that door for me. Furthermore, the bullpen, you throw in Aaron Ashby all of a sudden, and this is one of my bullet points here, figure out who is in leverage and who is your bridge, meaning who are going to be the guys that you throw in the 7th inning or later with a 1-run lead, and who are going to be the guys that you throw in if the starter goes short or he's getting ready to face a 3rd time through or they're clearly hitting them or that sort of thing. Who's going to be your bridge? You know, Aaron Ashby might naturally be a bridge guy given the fact that he's already got length and he's able to throw multiple innings. Is Joe Ross factored into that? Can you trust Joe Ross for multiple innings you know, from like a fourth to a sixth inning in a postseason scenario? And then do you use Jared Koenig in leverage? Do you use Jared Koenig as an opener? Do you use Jared Koenig in the middle of the game? You know, Devin's got the ninth. You know, Piams or McGill probably have the seventh or eighth. But are there any other guys that can throw their hat into that? Now, Nick Mears is on the IL with inflammation right now, but he's going to be on the postseason roster. He's probably going to be a bridge guy. So that's what this final month is going to be about figuring out for the crew. But the reason why I believe is because, look, you've already won the season series against the Braves. They're not healthy. They're not going to have Austin Riley. Matt Olson hit a ball that still hasn't landed in Philadelphia tonight, but otherwise, their outfield does not scare me. Ozuna's really good. Ozuna really does scare me. But aside from that, I feel like the Braves are very gettable. And furthermore, they don't really have any lefty leverage arms in their bullpen, which sets up well for you, given the Brewers have lefties like Frelick and Mitchell and a switch hitter like Perkins and Bowers. And they have opportunities to put their lefties into the game. So if they face the Brewers absolutely should be favored in that series against the Braves in a wild card series. And then you try your luck against the two seed, the Phillies, and see what you can do against them. Because the Brewers, they're going to see them again in 3 weeks, and maybe things change, and they suddenly get the two seed. But as of now, I'm operating as if they're not going to get the two seed. That's a good question, though, as well. This one from Doug. My to-do list is certainly to get the number two spot. I don't want that mini series again, and got to figure out a starter for the first playoff game. So that leads me to my second point here. Audition your starters. Who is going to be the guy you trust? Now, I've said a long time on this program now that Colin Ray would start game one for me. What Freddie did yesterday piques your interest. Like, ooh, that's a Freddie I know. If Freddie does that all month, look, then he's your guy. I'm not saying he's going to go six shutout every single time. But if Freddie shows April Freddie, 2023 second half Freddie, he's your game one starter. Because also, he's done something that Colin Ray hasn't done, at least stateside, and that's pitching the postseason. Colin Ray has pitched in the postseason in Japan, but not here. I'm not worried about that with Colin. I'm just saying, like, Freddie, if he has a great September, he can certainly be starting game one of a postseason series. And then finally, another thought with the pitching staff is figure out what you want to do with DL Hall. And I just mentioned a moment ago that he might be knocking on the door to be in the rotation for a playoff game. Assuming he starts game two tomorrow, because that's not official. It's not public by the Brewers, but I think you can read the tea leaves here. If DL Hall shoves again tomorrow, because he pitched, I thought he pitched very, very well in his lone start since coming off the IL last week. Then he went sent back down to AAA, and one line was good, one line was bad. I think there was a little bit of mental capacity there. Like, man, like, why am I in AAA? That's me saying that, not DL saying that. But I wonder if there was some mental fortitude that you have to battle through there. Like, man, why am I in AAA? I just pitched so well in the big leagues. If DL shoves tomorrow, you got to seriously consider a six-man rotation, especially given the Brewers will go back to an extra man in their pitching staff starting on Sunday when the rosters expand by one on September 1. I think that's certainly something to figure out with DL Hall. If that's something you want to do, go to a six-man rotation or give a guy a breather to make sure they're fresh and ready to go for the postseason, because quite frankly, the division is going to be wrapped up in less than 3 weeks. Maybe even 2 weeks. But the Brewers have an opportunity now to be a little flexible, to audition some guys that they may want to get a taste of. So that's my first 3 points. The next 3 points have to do with the offense. We'll talk about that to-do list coming up after this, our final break of the program on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ. WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station. This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio here. All right, final segment here. The other half of my to-do list here for the final month of the year. First three were all about pitching. These three are all about offense. First step number one, keep William going. He's had an incredible month of August. I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that he suddenly got a third catcher and he doesn't have to catch every day. He's been fresh on his legs. He's been being able to take breathers here and there. He hasn't had a day off, mind you, in the second half. He's had a few more DH days thanks to carrying both Haas and Gary on this roster. And look, quite frankly, hand up, I was somebody who said this team should carry three catchers in spring training. And everyone said, oh, you don't have the roster flexibility with that. I don't know if you can do that. Well, it's worked out pretty darn well, especially with Gary catching a great game today. He DH'd yesterday. Haas being available back there is so helpful for the crew to this point in the year. So keep William fresh down the stretch, because clearly when he's fresh, like we're seeing here in August, he's having the best month of his career. He's going to be a massive factor in the postseason for 2024. That's my number one on the offense side of things. My next thing on the to-do list is a little off the beaten path here. Let's keep Jake Bowers fresh. And I talked about him a lot over the weekend against the A's, especially in Saturday's game when he hit the home run and had a 3-2 outcomes type day. And his pinch hitting numbers are really, really good. And I know you may see the batting average, you're like, come on, what are you talking about? Like 4-for-17? Like, well, he's also got 7 walks in there. So all of a sudden, 4-for-17 is really more like 11-for-24. And now you're thinking, oh, wait a minute, that's almost 500. So that's why we think about Jake Bauer. So find a way to keep him fresh. I imagine, quite frankly, he might play both games of the doubleheader tomorrow, because that leads me into my last piece of the to-do list. Rhys Hoskins. Got to get him going. Rhys has been really, really struggling. And I also got a chance. I caught up with Rhys today in the clubhouse after the game. Tough day again today for the big slugger. As it sucks, as in his own words, when the team's doing great without you, I mean, you don't want to sit here and be sad about it because the team's winning, but it's just like, you want to feel like you've done something to help the team. And he knows, like, sometimes it's when he's walking, he's doing well. Sometimes he feels, and this is in Reese's own words today, it's like, I go back and look at the video, I go into the cage, everything feels normal, which is why this slump is so frustrating. It's not like he can go to the cage and work on something with his positioning or with his stance or something's out of whack mechanically. It's like I keep going back to look and find something and I can't find something. So it all comes back to swing decisions for Rhys Hoskins. Here in the month of August, he's only got a 188 batting average, only 3 homers, but 27 strikeouts. 27 strikeouts in 80 at-bats. I mean, that's a ridiculous striker. That's a 34% strikeout rate. So over this final month, Rhys knows it. Get him going, because Rhys has really, really, really struggled as of late. He's going to be in the lineup. I don't know if this is breaking news or not. I mean, he's going to be in the lineup. Like, he's going to be playing in a postseason game, but how long he plays depends on his offense. And furthermore, I could see them, you know, maybe after the 7th inning, if his last at-bat of the game is in the 7th inning, perhaps Jake Bowers comes in defensively for the final 2 innings in that case. So those are my 6 things on my to-do list. Figure out your leverage bullpen and your bridge bullpen. Audition your starters. Figure out what role D.L. Hall will have. Keep William fresh. Keep Jake Bowers going. And get Rhys Hoskins hot. Those are my 6 things to do. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Jam-packed here on Brewers Weekly. Back tomorrow for a doubleheader. Our producer, Nate Willing. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.